I'm Keith Powell, and welcome to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. If I use the words digital migration, well, there's many things, of course, that come to mind with that. It could be, for example, how we all are now doing things digitally. It could be something as simple as looking up a recipe. Well, you can actually have it on your iPad or iPhone or whatever other device you're using. Music, movies, talking with friends around the world. I mean, digital migration, of course, is something that, well, is happening and has been happening and will continue to happen. One country that has actually started catching up with the rest of the world and will soon become to be the largest internet group in the world is China. Now, for many years, China's internet migration was taking place in large cities, such as Beijing, Shanghai, and Dalian. But now, China is seeing a change. While these cities, of course, have more or less already digitally migrated, rural communities and areas that are called second and third tier cities are also starting to have the same thing happen. To take a look at the digital migration in China, we now present this documentary by Xin Wei Wong.
In urban China, factory workers are migrating into a digital world to escape what people would call the real one.
We're seeing workers who might work for long periods of time, maybe 10 hours or 12 hours with overtime, and often they're limited to kind of very short breaks in the day. For example, they want to leave the production line to go to the bathroom, then they have to ask their supervisor for permission to do that.
In my work as an anthropologist, I lived for more than 1 year in a factory town in southeast China called Goodpath. There I lived with factory workers and discovered how social media is being used to create an alternative online world in the pursuit of experiencing their dreams and aspirations of living in a modern China. I have come back to Goodpath town to speak to migrant workers about their lives offline and online. Goodpath is a small factory town 2 hours on a fast speed train from Shanghai. It used to be an agriculture village, but in 2004, the local government decided to develop the local industry. 76% of the farmland is now covered with more than 60 massive factories and more than 200 companies. Okay, now I'm working on the only high street of Goodpath town. A mere country road a decade ago, the high street today has more than 100 shops lining both sides. Along with the development of the factories, the local government repaved the road and sold the lands on both sides to property developers to build residential buildings, 4 or 5 stories in height with shop fronts. And as you walk along the street, all of one's senses overwhelmed as you can hear loud music and bright colors, strong scents, flavor of food and people everywhere. And there's also a quite busy mobile phone shop on the high street. Wan Hua is the owner of the shop who's sitting next to me. She is a middle-aged, very hard-working local woman. She and her husband open the shop at 6:30 a.m. and closes at 10:30 p.m. 7 days a week, 12 months a year, except for a 10-day break at Chinese New Year. So let me just ask Wan Hua to whom she sold most budget smartphones. So, 这里卖的智能手机都是给哪些人的？
95%
Wan Hua just told me that 95% of budget smartphones were sold to local rural migrants, and those rural migrants know exactly what they want. They care about the memory card, quality of the mobile phone camera, and whether it can play games, take videos, etc. So for rural migrants, a smartphone has become the everyday essential since it is their only private access to the internet and all the digital entertainment to be found there. I'm now in one of the massive factories. This one covers around 8,000 square meters and holds around 700 to 900 factory workers. Even in daytime, there's very limited natural light inside the factory plants, and the air is full of loud machine noise and the pungent smell of paint. The deeper you walk into the factory plant, the darker the room becomes and the stronger the smell of all kind of acid becomes. Steel is one of the main raw materials. Every day, hundreds of rolls of steel plate are shipped to the factory, where usually one worker works with one machine to cut the original material into various shapes. There's only very limited automation here. Labor remains cheaper than a fully automated production line. The logic of assembly line is humankind as part of the machine. Following the preset machine pace, a factory worker repeats his or her action roughly 20,000 times per day. Tom McDonough is an anthropologist based at the University of Hong Kong. He looks at how rural migrants use technology when trying to achieve their own hopes and aspirations. He's also familiar with the working conditions in factory towns.
They are monitored all the time on the level of work they achieve, on the output they achieve, and small infractions like being late for work or going away to the bathroom for too long might result in your wages being docked or all these kind of things. So it often can be a very kind of controlling and a very kind of high pressure environment.
For many migrants, the long hours in harsh factory conditions and cramped living quarters is very different from the imagined modern China they aspire to when they left their home villages. When not in the factories, most of factory workers are on their smartphones. I'm now in the dormitory building of the factory. It is a building with 5 floors. On each floor, there are 12 rooms and one public bathroom. 4 factory workers share one room, so around 40 persons share one bathroom on each floor. Even so, cooking is theoretically forbidden. Still, you can see people from time to time cook in the corridor. In the bathroom, there are 10 taps and a long sink attached to the wall. The toilet is next door, kind of semi-open, because the toilet itself has no door. Basically, there's no private space in the collective dormitory.
It's still the practice in many factories in China to provide employees with accommodation in dormitories and to even provide them with meals every day in a work canteen. Migrant factory workers may be sharing 8 people to a room with controls on when the lights are on and lights are off, also controls on what they eat. Many, many aspects of factory workers' lives might be controlled by their employer.
21-year-old Xiaohu lives here. There are 4 bunk beds and 1 small table in his room, nothing else. The storage space is very limited, so all his belongings are either underneath the bunk bed in plastic bags or on the small table. On the table, there are a couple of very basic personal items, a toothbrush, a cup. Can't see the toothpaste. 牙膏用完了?
牙膏我收起来了,不收起来别人拿去用的。
All right, he has to put away his toothpaste because otherwise others will use it.
每天晚上都有人给打电话，像现场一样吵。别人讲什么你都听见，我讲什么别人都能听到。
Xiaohu said at night, everyone was talking on phone. The dormitory is as noisy as the food market. There seems to be no secrets at all because you can always overhear each other. Social media actually offers a place where people can actually own a private space. I followed Xiaohu's QQ profile for more than 1 year.
QQ is very interesting because it is one of the oldest social and networking platforms in China. So you have things on it that are like Qzone, which is more like a Facebook-style page where you can update your profile. And it's also got this instant messaging function, but you can also play games on it and all these kind of things.
I found that he shared a lot of articles about the meaning of life or how to become successful, so-called chicken soup for the soul. Originally, this term, chicken soup for the soul, referred to a book series from the States, consisting of inspirational true stories about how ordinary people managed to have happy and successful lives. This book series was translated into Chinese around a decade ago and just went viral. Nowadays, people in China use the expression chicken soup for the soul, 心灵鸡汤, to describe shared articles on social media offering career and lifestyle advice. However, curiously, I have never heard Xiao Hu talked about any ideas of those chicken soup for the soul articles in face-to-face situations or on phone calls with his family. I wonder why.
QQ 空间里面分享了很多心灵鸡汤，面对朋友的时候会说这些吗？不会啊，那很奇怪，你就在空间里分享，别人也会在空间里分享。面对面说什么感情啊理想，别人说我做白日梦。Xiao Hu
said he would not talk about this chicken soup for the soul outside social media because it is just weird. But on social media, it is very normal to talk about personal feelings and aspirations, and everybody does so. In offline situation, if you talk like this, people would laugh at you for being such a daydreamer. Well, this is actually very true, also according to my observations of people's daily communication in my research. The most common subjects in phone calls were how much one has earned or saved so far, whether one can find a better paid job, whether the children can get into the local schools, or whether one can help a relative or fellow villagers to find a job. Generally speaking, how best to get by remains the dominant concern within these phone calls. Personal feelings are subsumed by pragmatic concerns. Topics such as thoughts about life or personal aspirations seems to be unspeakable outside the social media. Social media has become the normal and proper place in which people can talk about their dreams, daydreams, their aspirations, and what they think about life, rather than what they want to have for tomorrow's dinner. I'm Xinyuan Wang. You're listening to Digital Migration from the BBC World Service. Within social media, migrants can effectively create a world of self-respect that fits with the dominant ideals of modern China. QQ group albums display modern city landscape, being modern, consumer culture, weddings, keeping luxury cars online. They are engaging with the modern world online, which they hope to one day live offline. But this is an imaginary existence built around an urban lifestyle, which helps to provide an alternative reality.
You know, it's more than just trying to be modern. I think people are trying to reflect on who they are and who they would like to be, and use media as a way to reflect on some of those contradictions and the anxieties that they meet in their everyday life.
Jingjing is a 19-year-old factory worker who I met on assembly line. She works for 11 hours a day producing picture frames. Now it's about 5:45. I'm following Jingjing, the 19-year-old factory girl, to visit her family. We're now working through the residential area. It is a really busy place. I'm slowly making my way through the crowd. But most of the factory workers are taking their dinner break. Some of them will come back to the factory plants to work for extra hour, but for most of them, this moment of the day means relax. People were buying vegetables and meat on the pop-up food market. Along the narrow lines, many women are preparing food in the open air. Children are playing games, chasing each other underneath the strings on which their neighbors' underwear hangs. I'm now in Jingjing's room. Well, not exactly, as this room, the little room on the ground floor, is also used as a kitchen, and the whole family will have dinner here soon. A small stove and a small table at the end of the bed, near the entrance, and Jingjing's mother is about to cook dinner. Jingjing works on the assembly line, and she once proudly told me that she knows the trick of not missing one punch of the machine. Well, let me just double check with her.
当时是怎么说的？做得快的秘诀是什么？
秘诀就是你不要想其他的事情啊。你要是想其他的事情了，手就会慢，然后就跟不慢了，就跟不上机器了。
Okay, so I got it. So the trick is you should not think. If you think things, your hands will slow down and you can't follow the machine.
Jingjing dropped out of middle school when she was only 16 years old.And since then, she worked in factories. I wonder why she made such a decision at that time.
那你当时怎么会想到，不读书，然后到厂里干活的？
反正就是待在学校里，就是很无聊嘛，就是自己一个人也感觉到很孤单。那时候我家里面的人都是在外面打工的，村上好多人也是这样子。
She told me that.The school was boring and she felt quite lonely as her family and many of her fellow villagers had left the village to work in factories.
然后我就想出来看看，农村真的是特别无聊的，我就想跑出来了。
So at that time, all she wanted was to see the outside world, to escape the village life desperately. Most of the young migrant workers had once been left behind children.It is reported that there were more than 16 million children below the age of 17 left behind in rural areas. And in good past town, many young migrant workers had dropped out of school at age ranging from 14 to 17, and then joined their parents, relatives, or fellow villagers to work in factories. As it happened,The left-behind children have already made themselves part of a new generation of migrant workers. Jingjing told me even though she had expected the tough life in factories, she still thinks the current life is better than staying in home village. One of the good things is she has become independent, no longer rely on her family.
而且我也是比较想出来看看外面的世界的。这里是中国比较先进的地方，有钱的地方，和我们家农村肯定是不一样的，好多东西自己也没见到过。
And the other important things is to see the outside world, to see the modern life, the wealthy part of China. Here there were so many new things she had never seen before. Well, Jingjing kept saying to see the outside world is very important.And such idea is actually very commonly held among the young migrant workers I know in good past town. It seems that for the new generation of rural migrants, the motivation of rural to urban migration has shifted from economic pressure to the aspirations towards modernity. For young migrant workers, migration means to see the outside world and to gain autonomy from one's family.I would like to know more about what exactly Jingjing means by the term the outside world and what kind of idealized world she imagined.
你说的外面的世界是怎么样的吗？
啊，这个很难说吧，我说不好。
Okay, Jingjing said, it is very difficult to describe what the outside world is like in words. Well,I'm afraid I have to push a little bit, as I think I probably knows where to find the answer.
这样吧，那可以给我们展示一下你的 QQ 空间吗？
可以啊。
So I asked Jingjing to show me her QZone, the social media profile on her smartphone. Okay,
Once Jing opens her QQ profile, this track is automatically played as the background music.
你喜欢这首歌吗？
喜欢。
那你知道这首歌的歌词是什么吗？
这个是外语的，我真的听不懂，还有点，应该是和有爱情有关的吧，反正是一男一女唱的。我是在网上找到的，反正自己觉得挺好听的，就设置成背景音乐了。
Okay, I see. Jing told me that she likes this music even so she doesn't understand the lyric. And she thought it must be something to do with love as it is sung by a man and a woman.She found this music track online and set it as the background music for her QQ profile. Well, besides the music, the look of the profile is also very romantic. One can tell that she really has made a huge effort to make it beautiful. Purple is the theme color. The flourish font is in dark purple and each block is in kind of red purple shade. And the background picture is a vastexpanse of lavender field. Okay, let me slide further down. Wow, loads of photos of beach holidays, luxury goods, and here wedding dresses, European style dresses, delicate British afternoon tea, 3 layers cake stand, chocolate, ice cream, and colorful macaron.Viewing those fantasy photos, I have to admit I simply forget I'm physically sitting in the humble bedroom which Jing Jing lives. This dark and stuffy small room which she shared with her younger sister is used as storage room of the small shop downstairs where the music you can hear as the shop plays. In summer, the family wash themselves in the shared bathroom.There's used toilet paper and dirty water on the floor and the wall is stained. In winter, when temperatures fall below 0 degrees, roughly once a week, they go to a public bath to shower because there's no heating nor hot water in this building. It is definitely not difficult to tell the sharp contrast between the offline life and the photos Jing Jing posted.on her social media.
那为什么要放这些图片在你的空间里？
这些都是我在网上看到的比较好看的，或者在朋友那里转发来的比较好，感觉自己感觉比较好看的一些图片吧，所以就放在这里面了。
I asked Jing Jing why did she post these images, and she said because they look good. She saw them online or on her friends' posts.And she reposted them on her own social media profile. I asked Jing Jing why not put some photos of good pastime on her Qzone, but she seems confused as to why she would do that. Why would anybody want to see pictures of a factory? For Jing Jing, she says, life outside the mobile phone is unbearable. Good past provides everything except a feeling of belonging.Tens of thousands of migrant workers live in this small town, but almost none of them see the place where they live as home. The living quarters in this small town mainly serve to provide infrastructure for workers, rather than offering places in which human beings can maintain social relationships and feel security and emotional belonging.
Okay, now I'm in Shanghai. It's actually just 2 hours by high-speed train from Good Past Town. So in China, it's a really pretty, very short trip. And on my left is it's amazing Golden Temple. It's gorgeous and quite massive. And on my right is actually another Golden Temple. Well, this time it's for customer. And it's a huge shopping mall. And I will come in and have a look.So now I'm inside this shopping mall, and as all the luxury shopping mall in the world, immediately what comes to your eyes are all the luxury
goods, very expensive, but all the international brands everywhere. I just have the feeling that I'm inside the social media profile of my Chinese factory workers, but the only difference is those things I can really smell it and I can see it, they're physically in front of me. Well, actually, many of the factory workers I got to know in Good Past Town, many of them, they will try to pay a visit to Shanghai. So the 2 hours train trip to Shanghai to have a look, to have experience, real experience of the modern China. And many of them, they will keep the train ticket, they will take a photo of the ticket and post it on their social media profile.
I have witnessed 2 journeys in parallel, one from rural to urban, and another taken simultaneously from offline to online. They are journeys to the same destination, an imagined modern China. Photos are supposed to record life as it was lived, but here we see social media can actually be used for the opposite purpose, of visualizing a life to which people aspire. The images on social media articulate these young migrant workers' life aspiration far more effectively in virtual terms than they could in words or text. Social media has gained immense significance as another place in which migrant workers come to live. By posting these fantasy photos about a modern life, crafting oneself in the middle of these photos, these young people travel beyond the factory assembly line and reach their destination, the outside world. I have discovered that, for the migrants I've met, life on social media is not separated from real life. It is rather an essential part of their daily lives. The online has become the real home for most migrant workers who feel they do not belong to either villages or factory towns. They rely on their ability to engage in the imaginative construction online of what they might one day become. This is where millions of people now live.
Xinwei Wang reporting on the digital migration which is taking place in China's rural communities. And that's all we have time for on this edition of the program. If you wish to let us know what you think, we'd love to hear from you, mnp@pcjmedia.com. On behalf of the whole team, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well, saying 73 and 88 to the ladies.